David states this as a fact, a given. There's not something that you have to do in order to make this happen. If you are in the flock of God, this is true of you. This is what he does for you. He leads you.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hillard. Glad you're with us as we continue our series, The Lord is My Shepherd. And today we're going to be taking a look at how the Lord leads us. And Colin, that's an encouragement to be able to know, understand, and own that truth.
It really is. And I think one of the reasons that Psalm 23 is so popular and has been for generations among Christian believers is that its focus is all on what the Lord does for us.
Yeah.
We hear a lot about what we are called on to do for the Lord, and that's important. The Bible has much to say about that. But if we only ever hear about what we're called to do for God, then we end up becoming quite crushed and discouraged. What lifts us up is to hear what the Lord himself does for us. And that's the focus of Psalm 23, and that's why it's such a wonderful source of encouragement. It really lifts us up. I find this in my own life. I come back to it and I say, here are the things that the Good Shepherd does for me. You know, when I'm really down, he's going to restore me. Mm-hmm. When I don't feel I have strength to go on, he's going to feed me and nourish me. He's going to protect me and guard me when I face danger. These are givens. These are things that are part of what it means to be a sheep belonging to the shepherd. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to be wholly owned by the Son of God. And we're looking today at one of the great gifts that comes to us in that relationship, that he will always lead us. You don't need to fear. He will lead you. He's committed to that, and you can count on it.
Well, let's look at that truth from Psalm 23. Grab a Bible, meet us there as we begin the message, He Leads Me. Here is Pastor Colin.
If you were here last week, you will recall that we began by seeing that this is a psalm first about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Every line of this psalm is about who he is and what he does for his people. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But then we also saw that very wonderfully this is a psalm about us. It's about God in his relationship with us. The Lord is my shepherd. Every line of this psalm is about us and what is ours in and through our Lord. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. And we saw last time that the very first and most important thing about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is that the shepherd owns the flock. So when I say the Lord is my shepherd, what that means is the Lord owns me. I really am his. And we saw last time that a shepherd takes ownership of sheep in one of two ways. Either sheep are bought into the flock or they are born into the flock. And we saw that with regards to our relationship with our shepherd, that both of these things are true. You were bought with a price. The Lord Jesus ransomed you, purchased you by the shedding of his own blood. And you have been born into the flock of God, born again by the Spirit of God through the living and enduring Word of God. So being the flock of God, we are wholly owned by the shepherd. And the question that is then answered by this very wonderful psalm is very simply this. What will the shepherd do for the flock that he owns? And the psalm gives five marvelous answers to that question. We're going to look at the first today. That he will lead you because you are in his flock, because you are his sheep, he will lead you. Then we will see that he will restore you, he will guard you, he will feed you, and he will love you forever and forever. Now today then, the first of these, the shepherd will lead you. You're his. Born, bought into the flock of God. And here's what that means. You can absolutely count on this, that your shepherd, the Lord, will always lead you. Notice that David states it twice. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Now, do you see then that the first blessing, this first wonderful truth that belongs to all those who are wholly owned by the Son of God, is that he leads you. And David states this as a fact, a given. There's not something that you have to do in order to make this happen. If you are in the flock of God, this is true of you. This is what he does for you. He leads you. And what that means very wonderfully, brothers and sisters, is that whatever is happening in your life and whatever is going on in the world is not a matter of random chance. We're not stumbling through life, moving from one thing to another. We're surprised by what comes, but we are actually being led by a shepherd. And the shepherd is taking us on a journey that will lead us to his own home, where we will be with him forever. And he knows the way that he is going, and he leads you on the right path. Now, I want us to look at two things today. The first is where he leads us, and there are two specific statements about that here in the psalm, and then, very wonderfully, why he leads us, which is explained to us here. First, then, where does he lead us? And the first thing we're told is that the good shepherd leads us into rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me where? Beside still waters. And these are two very, very beautiful descriptions of rest. Green pastures, of course, are places where the sheep can graze, but notice that the emphasis here in this verse is not on grazing, but on resting. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Not feeding there, but lying down in green pastures is the point here. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep, of course, are scared of moving water. When a sheep falls into moving water, its fleece will be like a sponge and soak up so much water that the weight of it will cause it to drown. And therefore, good shepherds will dam up a river in order to have quiet pools where the sheep can drink without the danger of falling into a river. So here are two beautiful descriptions of rest. There's a meadow with lush green grass. There are pools of water that provide drink at the side. Now, let me just make one or two observations on rest. And the first is this, that rest does not come easily or naturally to sheep. By the way, this is so practical today. I won't ask for a show of hands, but if I was to ask for a show of hands as to how many of us are just feeling tired and jaded right now, I think we'd get a pretty good representation. And what we're being told here is that your good shepherd leads you into what you don't easily find. Rest. Notice, he makes me lie down. I don't find it easy to lie down by myself. I don't find it easy to rest. That's what David is saying. Now think about the analogy that is so wonderful all the way through this psalm. Why is it difficult for sheep to rest? Well, the answer to that is that sheep are timid creatures who have very limited means of defending themselves. I mean, if you think about this, a bull can charge, a snake can bite, a skunk, it can spray, it can do its thing, right? It's got a means of defending itself. What can a sheep do to defend itself? And the only thing that a sheep can do to defend itself is run. And frankly, they're not very good at that either. You compare them to deer, they're pretty slow. Compare them to the wolf, they're pretty slow. So if the only means that you have of defending yourself is to be able to run away when a dog comes or whatever, then what is your experience of life going to be? You're going to be standing on your feet all the time. You're always going to be on edge because you know your own vulnerability. You're always going to be in this position of anxiety, and you therefore find it hard to rest. How can you lie down if your only means of defense is to run? And maybe that is actually a very powerful picture of where you are today. You don't find it easy to rest. Don't find it easy to sleep. Why? Because there is a problem you need to solve. There is a challenge you need to face. There are fears that are constantly assailing you, and your mind won't rest. How am I going to get through this? And so you lie awake at night and you're going over all that has happened and all that might happen, all that could happen. You need rest, but you don't know how to find it. And of course, David has been there. He knows what this is like. In other Psalms, he describes it very vividly. Rest did not come to him easily or naturally. You think about that, it's hardly surprising. All those years he spent on the run from King Saul, who was pursuing him for his life. Years of worry over a divided nation and over a dysfunctional family. The sheer weight of responsibility that is on this man's shoulders as the king of God's people, the weight of that responsibility. How is he ever going to rest? And here's his answer. The Lord makes me lie down. Now, how does the shepherd make the sheep lie down? Does he come with a stick and beat them to? No. How does the shepherd make the sheep lie down? By his own presence. Sheep rest when they can see their shepherd. They'll only lie down when they feel safe, and the time that they feel safe is when they can see their shepherd. Try and put yourself in the position of the sheep. You know that you're vulnerable. Your only defense is to run. So you stay on your feet, just in case any danger comes. But when you can see your shepherd, right there in the field, when you can see your shepherd, then you will be able to lie down and rest, because if the wolf comes, you know that the shepherd is there, and the shepherd will deal with the wolf on your behalf. That is therefore why you can rest. He makes me lie down. If the shepherd were to leave the field, you would be back on your feet again, watching out for danger, ready to run. But as long as you can see your shepherd, you will be able to rest. And David says, this is what my shepherd does for me. He makes me lie down. And he explains it more directly in verse 4, which we'll come to later in the series. Because even though, he says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there you are with me. If the worst happens, if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, even there I have nothing to fear, because still my shepherd will be with me. And when I know that he is with me, I can rest. Rest doesn't come easily or naturally to sheep. They rest when they can see their shepherd. Therefore, here's the application to us. The way to find rest is to keep the shepherd in view. Notice then this very important fact that the shepherd does not bring rest to the sheep by ridding the world of danger. It's not that the shepherd says, hey, you can rest because this is a wolf-free zone. It's not a wolf-free zone. The dangers are out there. The sheep lie down not because the world is free from danger, but because they have the shepherd in view and it is his presence that gives them rest. Now, do you see, very practically, this is how then we must address our fears. I do not face this alone. And whatever may come, my shepherd is with me, and my shepherd is the Lord God Almighty.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called He Leads Me, part of a series on Psalm 23 called The Lord is My Shepherd. But this has been one of the most listened to messages of the past year. We've taken this and the other top messages and bundled them together in a series called Listener Favorites 2025. It's airing all month long on the radio, but you can get a copy of the series on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
The good shepherd leads his sheep into rest. Rest. He makes me lie down. And then secondly, the good shepherd leads us into righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Now, notice you have a full description of the Christian life right here in these two phrases. There are times for lying down and for rest, and there are times for moving forward. There's the whole Christian life. We rest in order that we may have strength to follow him on the right path. The natural order, you might think, would be that we walk the right path in order and then that we rest. But here it's the other way around. That's the gospel principle, that we rest in order that we may be able to walk in the right path. The Bible speaks about righteousness in two ways. There is a righteousness that Christ gives us, and that is what enables us to rest. And then there is a righteousness to which Christ calls us, and that is what David is speaking of here. The righteousness that Christ gives us. Paul says in Philippians, I want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and depends on faith. We become right with God, not through a righteousness that we produce, but through the perfect righteousness that Jesus Christ himself gives to us. He lived that perfect life, and when he laid it down on the cross, he offered up that perfectly righteous life on our behalf. And brother, sister, isn't this wonderful? All the righteousness you will ever need is given to you fully and freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it becomes yours when you become his. It's a marvelous thing to be wholly owned by the Son of God. And that's why you have rest. The righteousness of Christ is yours when you are his. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But now, do you see how this fits with Psalm 23, that is not the end but the beginning of the Christian life? It is not simply that we lie down and rest in the given righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have received this and have this by faith in him, he calls us now to follow him in right paths. And that's what's referred to here in the words of David. There is a righteousness to which Christ calls us. Peter puts it this way: he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. There are right paths that your shepherd calls you to pursue. Right paths, and he will lead you in them. Clearly, that is what David is talking about here. Paths of righteousness simply means right paths. And where the shepherd leads you will always be the right path. I want to notice a couple of things here. And the first is that the right path will not always be an easy path. The psalm makes that very clear. If you look at verse 5, the right path takes you through the presence of enemies. In verse 4, the right path takes you through the valley of the shadow of death. But even there, your shepherd will lead you. Psalm 23 makes it very, very clear that the pastures will not always be green and that the waters will not always be still. When Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospels, "Let us go to the other side of the lake," remember, he led them into a storm. But it was a storm in which they saw his glory, and it was a storm in which they learned that they could truly trust him. So the good shepherd won't always lead you beside the still water. Sometimes he's actually going to lead you right through the water. In another psalm, Psalm 77, we read these remarkable words referring back to when God led his people through the Red Sea. Your way was through the sea. Your path was through the great waters. Your footprints were unseen, but you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and of Aaron. Now, there will be times in your life where the way in which God leads you seems to be absolutely impossible. That was the situation of God's people when they came to the Red Sea. But God was with them. He was leading them. And there will be times when you find it hard to detect the presence of God. Notice what he says here, that God's footprints were unseen. God led his people through the Red Sea, but there was not a visible evidence of God's presence that was given to them in that experience. His footprints were unseen. There will be times where you say, now where is God in this? Can't see him. Can't figure out what he's doing. Can't feel his presence. God's ways will sometimes be a mystery to you. That's what we're being told here. But you can be sure of this, that when the Lord is your shepherd, even where you cannot see his footprints, he will lead you, even when his footprints are unseen. And then there will be times when God's direction in your life comes through people he puts beside you. Do you see that in this verse from Psalm 77? You led your people like a flock. How? By the hand of Moses and Aaron. Seek the wisdom and counsel of other godly people God puts beside you when you're trying to discern a right path. It's one of the ways that God will lead you. He gives under shepherds to the flock. He puts other believers around you. You're not alone on this journey.
Good to be reminded of that as we're taking a look at how the Good Shepherd leads us on a path, but that path will not always be easy. Hope you'll stay with us on our next broadcast. We're going to look at how he does always take us on the right path and how he leads us for his name's sake. By the way, if you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen at our website. It is openthebible.org, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through the website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on the station, make the website, the app, and all the ministry resources available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of Nancy Guthrie's book as our way of saying thanks. It's called I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. And Colin, what makes this book different than other books on prayer?
Well, it's not so much a book that you would read as a book that you would use. And some folks listening to us, Steve, might be saying, I don't have time to read another book. Well, this is actually a resource that you would use to shape your praying for someone else in your life that you're committed to praying for. And here's how it works. Nancy Guthrie gives us very wonderfully 40 different ways of praying for someone we love or someone who is suffering, someone who's in a particular need. They're all drawn directly from Scripture. And what she does is in just a few paragraphs, she points to a Scripture, explains what it means, and then frames a prayer that you can actually use for someone that you love and care for, someone in need in your own life. So the way to use this book is to identify someone, or maybe two or three people that you're praying for, and then use the book as a resource to guide and shape your praying over a period of 40 days. And what you're going to find is this, that your praying will be fresh. You will be drawing from the Scriptures, and you'll have the confidence of knowing that you're praying according to God's will, because whatever is in the Scripture is the will of God for his people.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. Again, it's called I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, that's openthebible.org or 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Who in your life needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? Most people can think of someone, and many are finding that someone in their life is open to this invitation. Would you be interested in opening the Bible with me? Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that will help you open the Bible with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible has 15 short sections, each with 5 discussable questions that will open conversations around the Word of God. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.